Oh, hallelujah. God bless you today, beloved. I want to minister to you today for a few minutes on what has become my favorite subject. When the Lord really began to open my eyes to the work of the cross more and more, I began to see things that I'd never seen before. And the way that He did it, showing me the truth, He helped me to understand the difference between the two covenants and to really learn each covenant thoroughly until I really understood the covenants. This is really what's missing today in the knowledge of the common body of Christ, is that people just do not really know the difference. They don't know the difference between the old covenant and the new. They couldn't even explain either one with any kind of in-depth understanding at all. Back, we've all heard of Martin Luther, who started the Great Reformation, which is where all Protestant churches came from. And Martin Luther was very, very strong about the covenants and understanding the covenants. All we hear today is that Martin Luther believed in salvation by grace rather than by works, because the Catholic Church was putting works on people. But no, friend, it goes so much deeper than that. Martin Luther got a revelation by studying the Word and meditating on it. And he began to really grasp and understand the difference between the law and the new covenant in the blood of Jesus, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is not to be critical, but it's true that most Christians do not even know that testament means covenant. Most have no idea that the New Testament and the Old Testament it actually means the new covenant and the old covenant. God is a covenant-making God. It's how He has related to mankind. He has done it by making covenants. If we don't understand the covenants, then we don't understand the work of God. We don't understand the work of the cross, because God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through covenants. So it's so vitally important that we understand them. Now, this is just one devotion I taught. I remember when I was pastoring years ago, I taught on the two covenants for at least a year, and man, it's just, you could teach it every day for the rest of your life. There's so much, and it's so wonderful. So I'm saying that to say I know I can't give it all in one devotion, but I want to just, nail it down as clearly as I can for you today, so that the Holy Spirit can take the seed by the grace of God and reveal to you the covenants. Because, friend, it will open your eyes to so many things. It will open your heart. It will open your understanding. First and foremost, we need to understand the old covenant before we can really understand the new one. The old one came first. Everything God does, He does in order. He's an orderly God. So for thousands of years, God came to man through the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And the Old Covenant can be summed up like this: whoever will obey all that God commands and seek Him with all their heart, all their mind, and do everything He says perfectly, they will prosper in the world. God will give them everything this life has to offer. That was the old covenant. It's very important you understand that, because there was no promise. Get this in your spirit. There wasn't a single promise from God in the old covenant of anything eternal. Nothing. It wasn't about salvation. It wasn't about what happens when you die. It was all about if you will do everything God said perfectly, then he will give you everything this world has to offer. He'll give you wealth. He'll give you success. He'll give you great, perfect children. I mean, everything. You'll never get sick. These are actually the promises. He will keep all the sicknesses of Egypt, all the sicknesses of the world off of you, if you will obey everything God says. And all through the Old Testament, all through the Old Covenant, it's all about that. That's why we have all the prophets in the Old Testament declaring that none of the people were doing it. The prophet says, God looked for someone to stand in the gap. Someone to stand in the gap, but he found none. So destruction came. There is not a single person who has ever lived who has done everything God said to do perfectly, except for Jesus Christ, who was here, who came here to introduce the new covenant. Now, this is important that we understand the difference of the covenants, because Jesus said, if we mix them, that's what he was talking about. The religious Jews, they said, why don't your disciples fast like John the Baptist disciples or like the Pharisees? Why don't your disciples fast like all the other Jews that are religious and pursuing God? And Jesus answers, when the bridegroom's taken, they'll fast. But then he says something interesting. He says, you can't take new wine and pour it into an old wineskin. You can't take a new patch of cloth and sew it onto an old garment. What was he talking about? He was talking about you cannot mix. God has always been very serious about mixture. Even in the old covenant, they weren't even allowed to mix different fabrics to make clothing. God was very strict about mixture. There is to be no mixture. So when Jesus comes, he says, you can't take new wine. You can't take the new covenant and add it to the old covenant and put them together and mix them up. You can't mix them or it's not going to work. We are not under, if you're born again, you're not under the old covenant. You're under the new one. You're not under both of them. You don't just mix them up and pick which parts you want from each one. And people are doing that, not on purpose. They're not doing it out of rebellion. They're not doing it out of sinfulness. They're actually doing it out of ignorance. They simply don't know. They don't know the difference. Let me give you this in a nutshell, because this is so rich, and it will change if you really get it. It will dramatically change the way that you think. The old covenant's promises were for the things of the world, but everything that it was promising, everything that it was demanding, everything that it did, it was all a shadow of something else that was coming. It foreshadowed something, and the Bible says in Hebrews it was a shadow of something. It wasn't the real thing. It was a picture of the real thing. But watch, all the promises of the old covenant are for earthly success, worldly wealth. Every bit of it had to do with you gaining this world and everything that it has to offer. Then in the new covenant, which is actually what the old one foreshadowed, there are no promises in the new covenant for earthly wealth and success. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came to introduce it, he preached something totally different. He preached that if you really know the truth and really follow after him, you are going to lose what the world has to offer. Jesus did not preach riches for obedience. So let's back up for a second. Jesus is God, and he never changes, ever. So why did the covenant change? Why did God shift? We have to understand the purpose of the old covenant, the reason that he gave it. And Romans explains in great details the reason he gave the old covenant. Now watch. The reason God told us, he told every human born of Adam, if you will obey everything I say, if you will seek me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and do everything I say to do, I will give you everything the world has to offer. The reason he did that, according to the book of Romans, was to arouse the sinfulness that was in us. It was to appeal to our covetousness. Oh my goodness, you got to get this. Why did God say, obey me and I'll give you the wealth of the world? Because he was appealing to the covetous nature of man. And the book of Romans explains to us that God gave the law not so actually people would stop sinning, but that sin would become utterly sinful, that the sin would become greater. The reason God gave the law was to arouse the sinful passion that was in man and bring every human being under condemnation and under judgment, that every human being would stand before him guilty of breaking God's righteous requirements. So the reason God gave all the commandments, the reason God did everything he did with Moses and everything he did with Joshua and everything he did with everybody in the old covenant, it was all to get them to a place where they were all guilty and everybody knew that none of them were good. Why did God do that? According, once again, to the word, it was to bring us to Jesus Christ. It was to take us, the law is it was a schoolmaster, the word said, to take us to the eternal life, to Jesus. It was a schoolmaster. What does that mean? It was here to discipline and show us what's wrong with us. It was here to reveal our wicked nature so that God could introduce us to a life that pleases him. That's what's going on. God wanted to introduce man to the only life that pleases him. And first, before he could do that, he had to show every human being that they are wicked, that none of them are good, not a single one of them. So watch, everything the law promised was all about getting something in this life. But when Jesus comes, he says, woe to the rich, for they've received their reward already. Jesus says there's going to be a role reversal. Jesus says it's not the one doing good and prospering who says, thank God I'm not like others, but it's the one standing at a distance, beating his breast, saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. The new covenant is radically different than the old one. The new covenant does not promise us earthly success. As a matter of fact, it promises us earthly failure. It promises us that if we will truly lay down our lives and walk after Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, that we will be rejected, ostracized, and hated by all people. We're not going to be successful. The new covenant tells us that this is not our home, that all of those old covenant promises and commandments and blessings and promises of prosperity, they were all trying to talk to us about true riches. If the new covenant, if we believe in the life and hate our own and receive that life that pleases the Father, then we become in him the head and not the tail. We become eternally wealthy. We are storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. That look what happens when you mix these up. How many Christians are deceived by the idea that if I will obey God, he's going to bless my life? This is what they're doing. As a matter of fact, almost every pastor in America often turns, and around the world, not just America, they often turn to Malachi chapter 3 to take up their morning tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3 is in the law, and it's God rebuking them. As a matter of fact, if you read the beginning of the chapter, it talks about Jesus is coming to refine us with fire so that we can give a righteous offering, because they could not give righteous offerings. When he rebukes them and says, bring ye all the tithe in, it's the same thing he had always done in the old covenant. All. You must do it perfectly. And if you do it perfectly, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out all kinds of wealth on you. And this is what Christians are still preaching. Here's the problem, friend. If we preach that and believe that and attempt to do it in any way, then we are cursed. All who are after the law, what does that mean? It means every human being who continues to think that if I'll do what God said to do, he'll bless my life in this world. They are all under a curse because they are believing in what the law says and not what the gospel says. And it's not, they're not doing it, as I said, most of them do not do it on purpose. They do it out of ignorance, sheer, pure ignorance. They just do not know the difference between the covenants. So people are running around telling people, if you'll obey God, he'll make you rich. If you'll obey God, you'll have your, all your kids will turn out right. If you'll obey God, you know, he'll give you success and he'll give you favor with man and he'll put you on the top at your workplace. And all of those things come from the law. Jesus never said anything like that. Why? Because Jesus didn't care about this world at all. Neither does God. God knows it's corrupt. It's all in a state of decay. The reason he promised it to us for our obedience, first of all, he knew none of us would be fully obedient. Second of all, it was an appeal to our own covetous nature. We all want what's decaying. We all want what's rotting. So God used it. Okay, obey. He used it to try to motivate us. Nothing motivates the first Adam more than a promise for his own gain. Oh my goodness. Because we are selfish creatures, self-centered creatures. So God used the thing that would motivate man the most, money, success, wealth. That's what he used to motivate man. And when God himself came down out of heaven and said, if you will obey me, I'll make you the richest. I'll give you everything the world has to offer. You know what the Jews said? Oh, yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will do that. Because they really thought they would. Man, when he told them that, oh my goodness, they were extremely motivated. Extremely motivated. My goodness, all we have to do is keep God's commandments and we're going to be the richest people in the world. We're going to get to rule over everybody else. We're going to get to be on top of everybody else. And so, man, they set out to do it. And none of them did it. None of them succeeded. None of them were able to truly keep every commandment and truly seek the Lord with all their heart and all their mind, all their soul, and all of their strength. None of them were able to do it. God knew that. He knew it already. He was appealing to that and that wicked nature and trying to bring it out in the open to expose what we are. And through the law, God, through his Holy Spirit, will show us what we are so that we may perchance hate it with him. Oh my goodness, that takes a while to get into that. But Psalm 5:5, so that we would hate what we are along with him. Because friend, he hates what we currently are if we are not born of Jesus Christ. He does not like the life of the first Adam. He doesn't like the workers of iniquity. Yes, God loves everybody, of course, but most people go to hell, friend. Let's believe the Bible. Walking around talking about God loves everybody, yet most of them are in eternal flames burning. Why? Because, friend, God will never allow our life into his presence, and our life is condemned to hell. The only way to be saved is to believe that our life was crucified with Jesus. We died with him, and if we died with him and we walk in his life, then, beloved, praise the Lord, we don't have to go to hell. That's wonderful. But God wanted to expose what we are so that we would see it and hate it with him, so that we would reject this life we got from our parents, this life that Adam handed down to us, that we wouldn't want it, that we would reject it. Everybody praying, God bless my life, God give me success, God give me favor. All the people praying that, they don't understand the truth. They're still walking in their own life and still under the mindset of the old covenant. And the mindset of the new covenant understands that if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to suffer. That when we are broken and weak and seemingly defeated is when we are the strongest. Those walking in the new covenant understand that woe to the rich, woe to those who rejoice now, because the roles are going to be reversed. That's what Jesus said over and over again. The new covenant is radically different than the old one. And the reason God made the new one, he did it from the very beginning, he already planned it, was because none of us could be truly obedient. None of us could be righteous. None of us could. He knew that already. So the new covenant is in the blood of Jesus. In the new covenant, if one man died for all, then all men died. Do you know the Romans teaches the only way to be free from the law is to die? As long as you're alive, you're under the law. The law is eternal, friend. The law was given to the first Adam, and it is eternal and everlasting. And as long as you are alive, you are under it. As long as you're walking in the life of the first Adam, the demand of God is to do everything he says perfectly. And if you'll do it, he'll bless your life. But if you die, you're no longer under that law. So you died in Christ, not so you could say, I'm not under the law and go sin, but so that you can walk in the life of Jesus Christ, not by your effort, not by trying to be good for God, but by believing what he accomplished, confessing what he accomplished, presenting yourself in the only living sacrifice there's ever been, presenting yourself in Christ, oh my goodness, for his life to flow, walking after the Spirit of life, who's here to show us what God accomplished at the cross. So, beloved, oh my goodness, we've got to quit mixing up these two covenants, or we are never going to truly walk in the fullness of Jesus Christ. The reason the Bible calls the cross a mystery is because mankind cannot understand it. They don't perceive it. The natural man, not the fallen man, not the sinful man, the natural man, of course it is the fallen man. What I'm saying is the Bible doesn't say the sinful man. It says the natural man does not understand. The natural mind doesn't understand the cross. It's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. And so what we've done, Christianity today makes sense. It makes sense to most people. But it's not the gospel most of the time. Most of the time, it doesn't have anything to do with the true meaning of the two covenants. It doesn't have anything to do with the true preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's because we lack knowledge. We lack understanding. Nobody's teaching the true difference of the covenants. Nobody. I don't even hear anybody attempting to. But they're not teaching the difference of the covenants. They're not making it plain and clear, which is, when I say nobody, I mean very few. The vast majority are not. I do believe there are those that understand it. As I posted here, that down through the years, people have understood the covenants, but the day and the hour we are living in is a very dark hour. It's an hour where Christianity is all about positive thinking. I was going to work this morning and listening to the radio on the Christian radio, and everything on there was about being positive, seeing the cup half full. And I was thinking, they would not like Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't walking around being positive and seeing the cup half full. Jesus was saying, don't fear those who can just kill your body, but fear him who, once the body is dead, he has power to put you in hell. Where's the positive thinking, Jesus? I mean, 90% of what Jesus said wasn't any kind of positive vibe or positive thinking. It was fearful, terrifying, the things he was telling people. He was telling the truth. He wasn't trying to make people feel good about themselves. Christianity today is all about making people feel good about themselves. Friend, the last thing in the world that God wants is for you to feel good about yourself. Jesus came and he never said feel good about yourself. He said hate yourself. If you don't hate your own life, you can't be my disciple. If any man loves his life, he's going to lose it. But if you hate it, you can gain my life. You can gain life eternal. You can gain the life of Jesus if you'll reject your own. Jesus says you must deny yourself. Not God's here to bless yourself. Jesus says you've got to turn away from yourself. It's radically, radically different. But the reason people keep mixing them up, for one, is their own covetous nature. The law hasn't done its work in them yet. Those who are preaching earthly prosperity for obedience, they do not yet understand that everything that they do is full of iniquity and polluted and tainted, especially what they do in God's name, especially. They just don't know it. They're still under the mindset that if I'll do, but what they fail to say is that we must do all that God says to do. Why? Because their covetous nature, friend, it's not really pursuing God. The covetous nature is pursuing wealth. If it was pursuing God, then they would look intently into the word and they would see it's not just if you give a tithe that your life will be blessed. It's if you do everything God said to do. But the prosperity preacher doesn't preach that. What he preaches is money. He preaches, give your money, sow your seed. Why does he preach that? Well, it's pretty obvious. He wants your money, and he wants wealth, and he wants success. And he quotes all the Old Testament scriptures saying you'll have prosperity and success, and God will make you the head and not the tail. Another thing they don't ever tell you is that the promises given to Abraham, I'll make you the head, not the tail. I'll make you the lender, not the borrower. The promises, according to Galatians chapter 3, they were not for Abraham's seeds. They weren't for the descendants of Abraham. According to Galatians chapter 3, they were for the seed, singular. They were for the descendant, singular. All the promises God told Abraham, I'll make you the head and not the tail. It was for Jesus. And he actually already did everything he said he was going to do. He made Jesus the head. He gave him the right hand seat and gave him a name above every other name. The only way you and I are ever going to be the head and not the tail is not by trying to obey God so that our life will be blessed. It's by understanding what he did, hating our own life, rejecting it, and looking for this right-hand seat life, the life of the head and not the tail, to be manifest in us. Because if you're born again, the head is inside of you. He is the head and not the tail. He's not going to give you earthly success and prosperity. The success and the prosperity he's offering you is eternal. It's where moth and rust don't corrupt. The promises of the old covenant for earthly treasures and wealth were a foreshadow. It was all about the true kingdom of God. The land of Canaan is not the true promised land. It is heaven. It is the new Jerusalem. It is the eternity when we leave this life behind. That's what it all foreshadowed. And oh my goodness, this is going long, so I'm going to stop this. And I feel so inadequate with just a few minutes here, with just 30 minutes, to even start to really help anybody to understand. All I'm doing here, I understand, and it gives me some comfort, is sowing seeds. There's people literally that I've talked to about these kinds of things for 15 years. And I didn't even understand a lot of it, but a lot of what I did understand, I was sharing about covenants and about what Jesus accomplished. I really didn't get until, I don't know, 2017, 16, about really understanding about hating my own life and denying myself. But I had a lot of those treasures that God was giving me about the covenants. And I taught them for years, and the people just didn't get it. People that listen week after week, they just didn't get it. It's not possible for our human mind to understand the difference of the covenants or to really understand the cross. It's not possible. Only the Spirit of God can open our understanding and reveal it to us. And so I know that I can't, and I know that in this short amount of time, there's no way I adequately explained it. But what I have said by the grace of God is straight from heaven and from the Word. And if you will study it, if you'll look into it, you'll find out what I'm telling you is 100% the truth. The old covenant was all about getting something here. The new covenant is all about getting something there. The old covenant demands perfect obedience from our life. The new covenant, Jesus was perfectly obedient and gained everything God promised. And now, what are we to do? We're not to try to be good so that God will bless our life. We are to believe on the one that he sent. And more understand what he did and what he accomplished so that we can experience the power of it, so that the kingdom of God that's on the inside of us can manifest, so that Jesus' life would increase more and more in us, and our life will decrease more and more. Oh, my goodness. May God give you the understanding and open your eyes and open your ears to study and understand the Word of God, understand the covenants, and not mix them, in Jesus' name, so that we can have good success, not the success of the world, but that so we can qualify for the eternal kingdom and have rewards in that kingdom and have riches in that kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise God. God bless you today. Amen.